Hello, hello.
I think I just
tagged you everywhere on Facebook, so your phone's probably going to go crazy.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah. So, welcome to Fence Guy Friday. I'm Craig Eubanks. This is Justin Menezes, right? Menezes. Yeah. I told you, I was like, man, I'm going to butcher it. So,
it's all right, man. I mean, we just found out this week Joe Biden stutters for the first time in his 80-something years of life. So it's all right.
It's all right for everybody now.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man? How's life?
Life is good. Life is good. Staying busy, staining, taking care of the kids, you know, doing the dad, father, husband. Life is good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Which that's like a obviously second main job, keeping care of kids. How many kids do you have?
So I have six. I've got five boys, one girl, and all from the same woman. And it's a lively home.
Yeah.
Most of, we've got three that are still at home. Our daughter goes to college in a couple of weeks. And then I'll have the two younger kids, and they're at the pool right now with eight other kids who typically hang out at our house, eating our food, playing on the trampoline. And so we're kind of the stomping grounds for the neighborhood kids.
Yeah, that's the only way to go. That's how we are here, which I have four kids, and usually I don't meet people that have more than I do, but there we go. You've got six. So and you only have three out of the house?
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. So my big question for you is, obviously those that don't know, for one, you do love Bang energy drinks.
Yep. Got one right here. Keep me going for the day.
Now the
might be why I had six kids.
Yeah.
So, forget Viagra or Cialis, you know. For $2 at your local gas station, it might help you shoot something more than blanks.
Yeah, getting all jacked up on this. So I was going to say, those that don't know, obviously they have no idea or haven't been on social media or anything, but you're kind of a big deal in the stain world.
I think that's over exaggerated.
I've seen your work, man. You're kind of a big deal.
I love staining. I absolutely love it. We're a family owned business. Mm-hmm. I've got, he's going off to college too here a couple of weeks also, but I've got my oldest boy who just got out of the army, officially got out this week, and he's been double dipping on his, terminal leave. And then working with dad, and he'll be working with me the rest of the season. And then who knows from there, he's also, he's 26. So we'll see what he ends up doing. Then I've got my 20-year-old Christian, who's the football player. He's recovering from a torn ACL and meniscus, and he starts school here in a couple of weeks also. And then there's Edwin, and we just, we take pride in knocking out as many decks as we can. We hand stain all our decks. So some people, I guess, make a bigger deal out of what we do because we bust tail. All right. Mm-hmm. We're the kind of people that we don't mess around. Our biggest fault as a business, I'll throw this right off the bat, is that we take pride in what we do, but we don't take the time to put out as much as we should when it comes to social media advertising, making videos of the work that we're doing or the processes that we're doing. We had a customer today, as we were hand staining their deck, she's like, I thought you guys were just going to come and spray it like the previous guy who did it a few years ago and got stain all over my house and the neighbor's house. And so when I didn't see you guys putting up plastic, she's like, I freaked out. And I called my husband and I was like, hey, they're staining and there's like no plastic and there's nothing up there. And this is going to be the nightmare we ran into 3 years ago. And so, and then to her surprise, she came out and, you know, we're we're brushing away. We're handstanding. We've got our 4-inch brush for rails and pickets. And then in this case, they were metal pickets, which we love. But you know, we're hitting it with the 4-inch brush, and then I've got my Fence Armor 7-inch 3x3-inch brush, and we're just going to town. And she's like, you guys should do like a video telling people this is what to expect, that we're going to come and we're going to hand stain it instead of spraying it. You might get more return on that investment than people just assuming you're going to do what the previous people did. Yeah. And so yeah, we hand stain it. So a lot of folks at times will be like, how the heck did you do 3 decks in one day? Well, there's, you know, in our case right now, there's 4 of us on a deck, and we don't have to pre-plan or anything. Everybody kind of knows what to do when we get to the job site. You know, a couple guys will grab stain, other guys grab the tarps, other guys grab cleaner, other guy grabs brushes, poles, and we just get out there, and the tarp guy starts throwing down tarps, watering the tarps, the other guy starts sanding, and it's just a nice flow, and that's how we really get a lot of work done, is our processes are ingrained into our minds, so we just get to it and we knock them out pretty good.
Man, that is key, is getting the guys bought into where you get the same routine, the same flow, because then everybody knows, like, you know, if you're the one grabbing the tarps, and then the next guy already knows, okay, I don't even have to worry about tarps because I know Justin's grabbing them. So then I can grab them the next thing. And then that's crazy though too, that you guys hand brush everything. That's
Well, we don't hand brush fences unless we absolutely have to. And then even then it better not be a shadow box, decks, pergolas, cabins, shutters, play sets, we basically hand stain it all.
Yeah, that's great.
And hand stain it, you know, we brush it. We don't spray it.
Yeah. So real quick, let's take time out here. Amanda, lovely reminder here. Amanda, happy Friday, Craig. So let's give a shout out to our sponsors, Contractor Accelerator. So if you guys hop on and need a CRM, go on there, and you still have, 5 days? 5 days of July to get signed up to get you a nice little backpack cooler. Holds a whole case. So they're giving those away. You got to sign up for a month. And then you use our promo code, Eubanks Fencing, 10% off. So you get a backpack and 10% off. So it's like a double whammy.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. And then Quick Pull is one of our other sponsors. So Quick Pull, obviously, we use them to pull post here. We do a lot of no dig, so they can pull out the 2.5s, all those different things. So they can also use landscapers, pull shrubs, all kinds of different things. And anybody of any age pretty much can use one of these things. Oh. And then our last one, Mr. Joe Everest and his crew over at Ozark Fence and Supply. So if you use FGF30, you get 30% off. That stands for Fence Guy Friday 30. You get 30% off. And Joe and his crew is known for that. If you guys order it by 2:30 Central Time, then it gets shipped same day. And it's also put together by Fence Guys. So they make sure that your order is correct. So now that we did that, we'll get back to it. Steven Spence stops in and says, what up? I met Justin at Stain and Seal University. He knows his stain. See? I told you, you're kind of a big deal in the stain world.
Yeah, Steven didn't tell you that the reason I know my stain is that there's a little secret. Some people have seen it, and that is you take a little bit of Expert Stain and Seal and you put it in your drink. Yeah. You don't overdo it. You know, you have to drink responsibly, but just a little bit. I've noticed that pecan specifically, best tasting stain out there. But it helps you get that little, like, it's not the bang, folks. It really isn't. Bang energy, it's 300 milligrams of caffeine that's in there. It's actually the pecan stain. If you really want to go crazy, you throw in some sequoia. And watch out. Like, you want to pull posts, a little bang, purple haze, and sequoia. No machinery required.
Look, now you have Caleb like going to start a whole new another branch.
Yeah. Well, I got excited when he was talking about the touch-up cans that he was thinking about possibly making. You know, like in an aerosol where, you know, somebody drags a piece of furniture instead of calling out your deck person and having mm-hmm. them come and do it, they could just purchase, you know, this aerosol can and spray it on there and it would be touched up. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you imagine how many decks we could get done in a day if we just had an aerosol can and you're just, let's go, let's do this.
We're jacked up, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole new meaning of jacked up on Mountain Dew. So now you're jacked up on some pecan stain.
Yeah. Idaho Painter, do not take that idea and run with it and get like 50 million views on your videos of you like spraying stain and seal in your mouth.
Who's that? That's a guy on social media.
Yeah, I forget his name now, and I apologize. I told you at the beginning, I'm terrible with names. I'll recognize you, and I'll sit there, and I'll think in my mind, is that Jace, or is that Eugene? Yeah. Is that, what's his name again? You can call me, you know, Justin the Dirtbag, and I'll be fine, because I can't probably remember your name. Idaho Painter, the dude is, like, social media famous, like, for... Okay. He does some things that you look at and you're like, this dude's stupid. Like but he's doing it knowing that you and I will laugh and think he's stupid, and we'll comment on there and we'll repost it. And he gets millions of views from these videos of, you know, like, hey, this is not how you're supposed to wear your hat. Believe it or not, you're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to stain and wear respirators. And then he'll put his hat over his face. And he's like, see, I'm wearing my mask and da 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 da. And people will look at that and go, man, this dude is high on blacker or something like that, you know, and they'll share it to 50 of their friends. And next thing you know, the dude's, you know, probably doing six figures just on his videos and social media stuff.
That's impressive. Yeah. I know Facebook pays, I think you gotta get a lot of views on Facebook, but YouTube, I heard, is really worth that. And like with the reels and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So that's I know you say you don't do a ton of social media, but do you do any like Facebook stuff or YouTube?
I primarily do Facebook. Like I'll do obviously the posts of work that we do for the day, and then I'll do some reels. And then I did start up a YouTube channel or page or whatever, but like mm-hmm. I told you, that's one of the areas we are horrible in is just keeping, you know, Dan Wheeler and Dan Blanc cornered me at the Stain and Seal University. And they were like, dude, if you just get a GoPro and you just get somebody who's following you and just having them, you know, walk people through your processes of cleaning and why you use this chemical, why you don't use that chemical, you could help people out and you would get people watching to follow, to learn. And then not to mention, you probably get like a kickback, you know, as far as return on your time and your effort.
Yeah.
And I like, I don't get me wrong. I don't sit there and go, you know, I'm all about the, you know, the phone book instead of this internet thing. It's just, like I said, we get to a job site and the GoPro is sitting there in the truck and the tripod is sitting there in the truck. And just that, you know, engraved in our minds, you know, hey, we're here, let's get this job done. You know, can we do it in 2 hours? You know, that's kind of our mindset is like, hey, there's four of us. We knocked this out in 2 hours. You know, we're going to Raising Cane's. Lunch is on me. That's the kind of attitude that we have. And then when we get back and we're eating our Raising Cane's, we sit there and go, oh crap, the GoPro never even got out of the case. You're like, whose responsibility is to record?
Yeah. See, now you got to restructure everything on who's grabbing the tarp. That's the same time they should be grabbing the GoPro.
Yeah.
Same time. But I agree. I think that I know I would definitely check it out because we don't know a ton of stain on our end. Well, we bought like the expert stain and steel, which I seen your hat there. We got.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd wear it a little bit more, but we have a dog that I did a reel on how a customer actually bought me dinner. Like she, you know, was just, we weren't supposed to be there for a couple of weeks. We ended up fitting her in early because she had an upcoming event that she didn't tell me about. But then, you know, they kind of call you. Any chance you could get this done, you know, weeks earlier? I've got this little shindig thing, and it would be really awesome if the deck was done. And so we kind of surprised her by showing up, washing the deck, and then having it stained. And she bought me a steak dinner with mashed potatoes, corn, and green beans. And I'm nice steak, all right? And I was just like, man, you didn't have to do that. And da-da-da-da. Opened it up in the truck. She got one for me, one for Edwin. Came home, put it on the table where I'm sitting at now, went and took a shower, came out, and the dog ate my steak. Didn't touch the mashed potatoes, didn't touch the corn or the green beans, but ate the whole freaking steak.
Took the good stuff. And then
she did a number on my hat. So when I put my hat on, it looks a little weird because there's nothing actually holding it on my big head. And so.
Yeah. You say you're big head, so I'm guessing you're like me. I'm like the last two little.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, I got it onto three when I cut my hair, and I guess I shouldn't have just kept it on that two. Maybe she wouldn't have gotten my hat, but
yeah,
who knows?
That's what all my friends are like. Why don't you wear hats? I'm like, man, my head is huge. Like it's hard to wear a hat.
Well, or they'll fit funny on you. Like my son is an Army Ranger down in Savannah, and he bought me this Ranger hat. You know, Rangers Lead the Way is the RLW. And he was all proud, you know, like, hey, I got you this cool hat and da-da-da-da. And I put it on, and it looked like a toddler's hat, you know, just peaked up. And he's like, what size of the head do you have? And I'm like, the same size I've always had. Like, my head... I'm not Barry Bonds, you know, my head doesn't grow over the years.
I'm not on roids.
Yeah. The HGH is not really helping me. But yeah, so I don't, you know, I like the hats Caleb sends because, you know, I can put them on that second to last notch and they'll fit on there and, until the dog eats it. And then I just go hatless. Sunglasses are kind of the same way.
Which that's, so do you guys do any repairs to decks and stuff, or do you just stain them?
We'll do occasionally. We'll do a repair depending on the severity of the repair, I guess. If it's floorboards and not joists or rails, then we typically will. Yesterday we did 16, 12. Yeah, we replaced 16 2x6 by 12 boards on a deck for a customer. And of course, if they're willing to pay what we charge, then, you know, yeah, we'll do it. It's worth our time and it's worth the money that they're paying.
Yeah.
But we don't go out of our way to advertise deck repair, that kind of deal.
Yeah, I got you. They just kind of help out whenever they're begging, like, hey, can you just take care of this for me too?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, we have 3 or 4 deck builders that we work with that we refer, you know, if we get called up for a deck and it's beyond salvageable, you know, washing it and staining is not what that deck needs. You need a new deck. It's dangerous to walk on, whatever it might be, that we refer them to. And then if it's a repair job that's not big enough for them, and it's like, you know, hey, these people just need a few floorboards, and for us to send... I'm sure you guys are kind of the same way, you know, like if someone calls you and says, I need 3 pickets replaced on my fence, for you to send out a crew or a truck and to do all that, it might not be affordable to charge them whatever your minimum might be to go replace 3 pickets. Whereas if we're going there to wash and stain, you know, replacing a few floorboards is, you know, just a little add-on for us.
Yeah.
And it's affordable for them too.
Well, and yeah, right now we have quite a few repairs, but we try to stay away from them right now because obviously it's crazy for us, which we've, in all honesty, being a little vulnerable out here, but lately we have not been the best that we can be. But the good thing is we're learning from these mistakes and then we're working to get better on these things. So it's like every company I feel like goes through these little hiccups. And you know, our office manager and stuff, we were talking and it's like, we've had a rough like 3 or 4 weeks, and it's like you almost need a breather day, and mm-hmm. then let's get this thing rolling, get it fixed. So
yeah. Well, and you're learning from it, you know. I had a young guy. I say young guy. I'm 50. He's like, well, I guess he's young enough to be my son. But he was, you know, asking all the great questions and everything. And it got to a point where I told him, I was like, you know, I can help you avoid some mistakes that you don't need to make to grow. And that's a lot of my goal, is to help people, whether you're starting off, whether you've been doing it for years or whatever, if I can help you avoid, make a mistake that's not experience, or not experience, what am I trying to say? A mistake that will help you grow, then I'm all for that. Like, if you're not charging enough, you know, if you're the guy who's charging $1.25 a square foot to wash and stain a deck, I'm not going to tell you what you should charge, because you need to learn to do that yourself. But I'm going to tell you, hey, dude, you're like way, way underpriced. You know, you can pick up your phone and put in Google and ask what, you know, local deck staining prices are. And Google will give you an idea. And I told him, I was like, you're like $2 cheaper than what Google is saying is the low end for our area. Mm-hmm. So I'll just leave it at that. But like what you're talking about, those experiences ultimately are going to help you grow tenfold in the.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's been tough for us. Cause I'll be honest, I'm what you would call like a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly trying to deliver the best possible experience that somebody can have. And sometimes it's just like, man, yeah, we're going to be out there. And then the guys, you know, something happens and then we don't get out there. No one notifies me. And then it's like, crap. So.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I'm a firm, I shouldn't say a firm believer. It's a fault and it's a talent, I guess, mm-hmm. to be a people pleaser. Because when we do our work, we take pride. I want people to know, like, hey, making all things new, that's who I want to call again, because they were respectful. They were courteous. They were professional. They went above and beyond, you know, the old Boy Scout model of leaving it better than you found it kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And so, but then it can be a kick in the tail, because there have been times where, you know, I'm going above and beyond to fix things and it's never good enough. And the customer can kind of catch on that and take advantage of your goodness or your wanting to people please. Deck repairs, for an example, for us is something we don't like to do a lot, because we have a deck repair that we stained their deck and we told them, you know, hey, you've got a lot of repair to be done. And the wife came out and she's like, oh no, you can just put a screw into this handrail and it'll be fine. And my oldest boy goes, you mean this handrail? And he just like popped up an 8-foot piece of handrail. And I'm sitting there going, man, now we got to replace the handrail, you know. But what made it worse was it wasn't just the top of that handrail that's 8 foot long. It's the cross joint of that 2x4 underneath that 2x6 that's also rotted. And then the post is not just soft. It's got like 8 inches worth of eaten material going down, you know, and there's carpenter ants in there and there's probably termites in there. And, you know, and it's, so we don't like to do repairs, because what might seem like one or two boards could lead into, you know, a day's work of replacing boards and replacing boards. And, mm-hmm. and then you got to hope that the customer doesn't see you as the guy who, you know, oh yeah, it's only two or three boards. And then you come back and you knock on their door and it's like, well, you know, we're on board 18. Are you still good paying $125 a board to have it replaced? Because you're close to $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, or do you want, you know, when do you stop pleasing and then look at your bottom line and go, hey, we told them we would replace this many boards. we got to knock and we got to tell them that, you know, hey, this is going to be a multi-$1,000 deck repair instead of just two or three boards.
Yeah, that would be the hard part. I mean, I guess that happens in fencing too, because someone's like, hey, can you go ahead and replace this post? And then you knock the 2x4s off and then they crack and you're like, well, we got to do 2x4s and then you got to get the pickets off. And then it's like,
yeah.
One thing, it's like, okay, what's the budget here? Like, because this is what we can do for this. So I did want to give two quick shout outs. Alyssa, she's been a long time friend of Eubanks Fencing, Fence Guy Friday, and then Isaac Alexander. Have you talked to Isaac before?
I don't. Again, I'm going to fall back on names. I'm horrible with names.
I'll say this. I'll give him a shout out. So I talked to him. He is, he has like this company where he does, like he gets quotes together for commercial bids. Hmm. And then you basically pay him to do that, obviously. But, and he's not like, it's not like crazy expense. Like he's not like taking, you know, 40% of your job or anything. Like he's actually very reasonable and seems like a super good guy. So yeah, I talked to him and Michael Taylor here.
Oh, bam, bam. Give him some pretty pebbles and watch out.
Yeah.
I think Bam Bam's also from Iowa, so we got to be careful. They like to walk around.
Is he a big fruity pebble guy?
Well, I've just heard people call him Bam Bam. And I'm old enough to remember the Flintstones growing up, waiting for the school bus to come and pick us up before we had to walk uphill both ways to get to school. And I just kind of wondered, you know, like, why are they calling him Bam Bam? He's kind of a shorter, nice guy. But that's what I just thought. He was like maybe Bam Bam from the Flintstones.
Yeah, yeah. I think he said that he's from Tennessee.
Oh, is he? I thought for some reason he was up in Iowa at one point in time.
Maybe he can clarify for us, but... So, yeah, so those that don't know, you're from Nebraska, right?
We live in Nebraska. I'm originally born and raised in or outside of Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
So I'm an immigrant, if you want to call me that, to the U.S. before becoming a citizen. And reside in Plattsmouth now, or in Nebraska.
He said, not so nice in my younger days.
Oh, there we go. So Bam Bam's got a story to tell at the next Stand and Seal event.
So are you close to the guys over at My Salesman?
Oh, yeah. We're about, I think if you put it in Google will tell you it's about 45 to 55 minutes away. Oh, okay. So they're just Omaha is eastern Nebraska, right by the river, the Missouri. Waverly, where Empire Fence, Matt Warner, My Salesman, is about 10, 15 minutes outside of Lincoln, east of Lincoln. And so it's kind of a middle point between Omaha and Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good people, good folks.
Yeah, yeah, he's always... Which have you checked out their, I think it is called a podcast, but I don't know. I think it's like a story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unhinged.
Yeah. Unhinged. Have you checked that out?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful with Matt. All right. Yeah. Cause Matt is one of those guys. I admire him. I look up to him. I'm not saying this to kiss his butt, to have him lead more fence jobs my way. Yeah. Absolutely not my intention. But he's the kind of guy, if he has something to say, I'm going to listen to it, even if it's a year old. If it's at the moment, if I get a notification that he's doing something, I'll turn off whatever I'm listening to, watching, and key in, because he's such a wealth of knowledge. Whether it's an inspirational experience he's gone through, an event that he's working on, a new project, whatever it is, he's one of those people that if you listen to what he's saying, it might not ring a bell at that moment, but later on you'll sit there and go, holy crap, that's a hell of a nugget that I need to remember. and implement or do, you know, whatever he was saying to do, because the stuff that he does is just phenomenal.
Man, I love seeing when people go live or record like his Monday morning meetings he does with his crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Like, man. And I don't know where he gets all this stuff from. It's like, is he just like throwing it from the hip, or is he like researching these things or what? But I'm like, man, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say a year or two ago, I was listening to something that he was saying, and I kind of felt the same way. It's like, does he like watch other people and just reword things? You know, he's not getting plagiarized, you know, checked on this. And he's, you know, is he just rewording it to make himself? And then I talked to people who work for him or work with him. And then in talking to them with nothing to do with what I just heard him talk about, you then all of a sudden realize that what he was saying earlier, he's implementing. Like, these folks who work with him and work for him, when he talks like company culture, you know, we just did a fence for him that is for one of his employees and didn't have, you know, send me the bill. Don't give, you know, Joe, whoever, just send me the bill. I want, you know, we built him that fence. We're going to stain that fence so that it looks good and it continues to look right. And it's our name on there. It's going to be your name on there. He's a heck of a guy, and we want to take care of him, so just go do it. He's one of those, when he talks company culture, he lives, breathes company culture.
That's crazy.
But yeah.
That's awesome. That'd be an awesome, I mean, I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, man, that's pretty crazy to do, really.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just, like, he is a good guy. His wife is a great gal. She's... you could see that it's not a one-sided, like, it's not Matt's this amazing business mentor type individual. His wife, Melanie, is just right there. She's just implementing the same strategies and the same thinking, just not in front of the Facebook or the audience like Matt is. She's more behind the scenes, Melanie Warner, but Matt Warner. The same mindset and implementations of processes.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I've met him like one time, and it was like in a passing at one of these shows. Which, speaking of shows, do you go? Obviously, you probably go to Stain University.
Mm-hmm.
You do like the Fence Show in Vegas, or do you do like Fence Tech or any of those?
So Dan asked me the same thing yesterday. I've wanted to go to a couple of them. Matt brought it up, I think it was the Vegas show, the last big one, not the one in Tennessee, but the one before that. And I ended up going to a military school that popped up, and so I couldn't go, but I planned on going. And I regret not going after talking to a couple of fence builders here in town. And they're like, yeah, I mean, there are folks there who are staining. There are folks who are in landscaping. There are folks who completely different industries who are coming just to learn from the classes, the other things that are happening. It's not just, you know, hey, here's a gate hardware that I'm never going to use, but it's interesting to see that, you know, the different hardware, but there are other classes and seminars and things going on that would be beneficial to anybody.
Yeah, it's I went to the Fence Show in Vegas last year, and Mr. Fence did a I think it's called Overdrive. He did that for 2 days before the show actually started. And there, you're right. I mean, there was people in there that don't do fence that were also just there just to learn about business and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but man, you just talking about meeting a lot of different people and stuff. It's cool to know these people and then still stay in contact with them throughout the whole year. And then obviously it's coming up here in about a month and a half now, I guess. And we're getting pretty close. But, and then obviously, like, hey, where are you guys staying? What are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. And stuff. And then
going
out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things I'd love to try is do one of those Sean King's challenges things that I see that he does sometimes. So in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there like, do I go and do I just like show up and work my way into like being able to, you know, pull up Excalibur, you know, and be like, that's right, us standing guys, you know, be, or, you know, I'll get up there and I'll be like a fool and be like, damn, I can't even move this thing. How are these guys shoveling or digging holes, you know? And so I guess secretly you might drive by one day and see me out there practicing for that one day that I'll show up at the fence, one of the fence shows, and be like, you know, yeah, us Sting guys, we're here to represent.
Now, let me give you the secret, because I've seen it. And whenever they're like in between people, dude, they pack that hole in there. Like, they're packing it that mud tight. Like, so it's hard as a rock.
I mean, I've tried it in my yard. Like I said, I wasn't going to go and do one and be like the fool, you know, where you go down and it's like, clunk, clunk, oh crap. No thanks. I guess, hey, who was that dude? Like, what the hell was he doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, who does he work for? Because that dude does not belong on a fence job site.
No,
the so, best. Yeah, I've tried it in my yard, and it's not easy. I don't.
No.
I tell every fence builder here in town that I work with or friends with, and I'm like, dude, you guys do work that it takes dedication and a love for the business, because fence hole digging, when you got to sit there and, you know, you're hitting semi rock and clay and mud and whatever, it is not easy. It's like digging ditches for a living, you know, the old fashioned way.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is at them shows, you can tell like, who doesn't know what they're getting themselves into? Because they'll like walk up there and they're wearing like, you know, jeans and a long sleeve shirt, and they're like going up to start digging holes. They get done, they're like drenched in sweat and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, man, you need to check up on the internet and see these videos.
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah, it's I mean, I love it too, because this year they're doing demo days, which is like a couple of days before they're showing like a lot of equipment outside and things. And Isaac is still on. Real bad digging.
Tennessee.
Yeah. See, he can be warming up and then come out to the fence show out in Vegas. So, but did you say, are you thinking about going this year?
Maybe. It just kind of depends. We've, knock on wood, things, I was telling Dan yesterday, it's like, you know, things are weird. It's kind of a weird year. Some people are not pulling the trigger as quickly as they may have in the past to get, you know, signed contracts, get on schedules. And then between 8 last night and today, I think we signed up like 8 new customers. We have a couple of big projects that if they fall through on the positive side, that our season's probably going to be extended a lot further out than what we expected, but I don't know. It'll be kind of a hit and miss. I would love to go to one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you should. It's awesome. And I was going to say, if you come, let me know. We can get together, hang out a little bit.
Yeah. Is that thing Dan was saying, there's one coming up in Salt Lake, or is that the one that's currently being held?
So,
and then there's one coming up in Indiana or in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Like next year or something like that.
That's in actually we should have played the
there you go.
Yeah, that one, 2026 is here in Indianapolis. So I'm pumped for that one, because I'm like, sweet, I don't have to buy a hotel, I don't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So then the one in Salt Lake, that's the AFA one.
Okay.
And then the fence show in Vegas in September is the one that Brian and Susan put on. Michael says gonna be there, and Caleb and the gang. So I got a. I think I told you offline, but we have a pre-stain machine. And it's kind of messy, but. Which I have no idea about stain. I can build fence, but then like I get into that and I'm like, holy crap, man, like there's stain everywhere. So, cause obviously, you know, whenever you run it through and stuff, it brushes some of it off, but then you get some that drips off. But what would be your advice for for someone getting into staining, would it be to hand brush it?
So with your comment earlier, I think you just need a little more fine tuning in that machine. It's probably putting out more than it should be, and that's probably why it's getting messy. I ran into a staining machine the other day, and we kind of played around with it for a fence builder, and he was having the same issues. And once we reduced, what did we do? His rollers weren't tight enough, if that makes sense. So they were not hitting that board as much as it should to kind of evenly distribute that stain. And so when he was back brushing, there was so much product on that board that it was just coming out like sopping stain all over the place. And so after we tightened his rollers, so the distance in between the roller became smaller. And then when it was back brushing, it was taking a lot of that excess stain off of there. So when it came out, it was, at first it wasn't getting enough stain on there. So then we had to loosen it a little bit. But once we got it to where it's working great for a fence picket, I mean, it was coming out of there to where you could grab it and pile them up and you weren't having dripping or flowing a stain.
Yeah, that's why.
So I think if you just find, I mean, it's going to take time like anything else, right? Like just fine tuning everything. You'll find that it's not as messy as what you're probably looking at now.
Gotcha. We'll catch up on a couple of these real quick, and then I want to say something about that. Isaac's going to be teaching class here in Fence Tech in Vegas. So I'll have to check that out. Isaac, you're going to text me when that class is.
Yeah.
Mike says brushes need to be so tight, it's hard to put. Okay, well, it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's super easy to push through, but it's easy. Pack brushes need to be super close. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a little fine tuning, and you'll be surprised at the difference.
Because you had those front two rollers, and we had the ones that originally that we when we bought, and I don't know what my guy did, but dude, it looked like your dog that ate the steak. It looked like things up. I have no idea what happened. I was like, dude, what did you run through here?
And then
we bought new ones, and they came, and these ones they've lasted longer. So, but yes, it's like, you know, pushing them through and everything. I mean, you get like a little bit of puddle up, but then still, even when I push through, sometimes, you know, it misses little chunks and like, it'll have like, so I'm like, man, obviously I need to mess with it more. Cause I'm actually going in tomorrow to stain a whole bunch of boards. So I was like, all right, I'm going to mess with it, adjust it and see. I didn't think that really mattered, but you're like, no, it 100%.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a huge difference. Like the first time this guy had it, he ran it through and he called me. He's like, hey, do you have a stain machine? I was like, yeah, I don't have one, but what's going on? Like, if I can help you, let, you know, ask away. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got like an hour that you can come by? And I was like, well, you know, I'll be in your area tomorrow. I'll message you, and if it works, it works. If not, then I'll just come whenever you're there. And we ended up meeting up. And yeah, I mean, those boards, you could whip them through the machine. That thing was so loose. And he didn't know, none of us really know what we're doing until we practice. Yeah. And so for him, it was like Michael just mentioned, it's got to be tight to where you want it to flow through there, where you're pushing it through. And then having somebody, or if you're making your way to the other side of it, best case scenario, you've got one guy in the front feeding it and one guy in the back grabbing it and then pulling it through. And when I say pulling it, they're, you know, you're pulling it so that it's not putting excess stain, and it's also giving that brush that needed motive or that needed momentum to brush that excess stain off of it.
Now, is there a brush that you recommend to use? That you use personally?
Yeah. So we love the, and again, nothing from Fence Armor. I use it because it's an amazing product. Fence Armor has a brush that Caleb sells on his site and that you can get from Fence Armor themselves. It's I think it says it's 6 inches by 2 inches, but I swear that's a big 6 inch by 2 inch. Yeah. It's almost as thick as a can as far as width. Yeah. And it's got to be, you know, 6 to 7. I measured it. It was spot on, 6 by 2. But very thick. It's got natural bristle hair in there. I think it's actually pig hair that they use instead of the synthetic stuff. Very firm, so it's not going to be spitting as you're brushing. It comes with the angle pole holder as well as just the regular screw on. So if you want to use it like most brushes where, you know, you buy a brush and it's got the handle and it's straight up and down, or you could put the angle. So if you saw one of Caleb's videos that he did recently where they're brushing it back and forth like a push broom, it gives you that option. We use those for our floors because it covers a board, a deck board that's 6 inches and a little bit more. That's why I say it's a little bit bigger than 6 inches. So if you're brushing, you're covering square footage like crazy. And then we also like the master. What are the name of those things? We get them, but there's like a master Besco or Lipco 4-inch brush that we like to use a lot for our brushing at least. And then we also use that 4-inch on fences when we're back brushing our fences.
Now, do you do any pre-staining, or you probably do everything on site?
Yeah, we'll have some pre-staining that folks will ask us to do. Nothing like a whole fence or anything like that. Okay. We just did some, Eastern Nebraska red cedar for Chris Hearn with Dunright Fence here in Omaha. Okay. And he's going to put it up over a garage. And so he asked for us to pre-stain it, so that way when they go to install it, it's ready to go. So we'll pre-stain like small project things, shutters, tables, some siding, tongue and groove for folks. But nice. Yeah, I've been pushing with other fence companies here in town, like Chris Hearn, for an example, Dunright Fencing. We've brought up, you know, this pre-stain option. I think here in Omaha, there's a bad taste and a lot of homeowners' mouths from pre-stained lumber that they've bought in the past from the big box store. That just was just garbage product. And so there's not really a market, I guess, for it right now, but down the road, who knows?
Yeah. Cause that's gopher wood.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I'm not trying to tell folks not to hire Making All Things New to come and stain your fence, because when we're done staining, you'll be happy. Your neighbors are going to be happy, and your neighbors are going to be calling us to come and stain their fence, because it's not right that the Joneses have a great looking fence and our fence looks like crap. But gopher wood is like an amazing product. I don't know what the cost difference is and all that. I've seen gopher wood when we were down in Tennessee. I saw the product, and if I was building a fence, it would make sense to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're not good at staining.
Well, yeah. And so here, a little backstory, right? We started Making All Things New part-time in 2014. I was a mailman or a mail carrier. Mm-hmm. And we would do, I talked about speed, efficiency. The postal system works on timed routes. And so if you have your mailman has a route, right? Let's say it's Route 52, and the postal services decide.
Oh, I think he lost his internet. Oh, here he is.
Paid for 8 hours. And so what I would do is I could deliver my route in 4 hours, right? And I mean, deliver it efficiently. No miss deliveries, that kind of thing. Be back, get paid for 8 hours, and then go wash the deck and then stain it a couple days later. And so for me, it was like, man, this is great. I'm getting paid by the postal system, and I'm going to get paid by Mrs. Jones to stain her deck. Like, this is great. And then eventually we grew out of having to work for the postal system. It's like, makes no sense to be not doing this full time. Right. We sprayed everything. I mean, it was efficient. It was fast, you know, to go up, throw plastic up. But we started noticing, out of 10 customers, five, if they heard you were spraying, you were out of the running. They wanted nothing to do with you if you were spraying their deck. Because like the lady that I talked about earlier, mm-hmm. they stayed on their house. They were staying on their cars, the neighbor's house, the neighbor's fence, all those other bad experiences. And so one off season, you know, I don't know how you are in Indianapolis, but in Nebraska, our season ends October, November, sometimes December, and it goes through a break season until February, March sometimes. And so you got a lot of time in between when the season ends and the season starts to revamp, to check your books, you know, hey, how were we on expenses? Where could we cut back? And I started looking at how many jobs we didn't get because we were spraying. And then I started calculating how much we were spending on tape, on plastic, additional cleaner, and all the different things that go into your everyday business expenditures. And started noticing that, yeah, we were saving about an hour, you know, in between spraying, because you're masking, you know, we put up plastic and then we also put up a 6 inches to 8 inches of paper. And we don't just use regular paper. We use the oil resistant paper. Mm-hmm. And so we started calculating how much we were spending and how much more stain. Because when you spray, you use more stain than you do if you hand stain. It's being shot into the air. It's in the hose. There's a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. So we calculated that we would actually save money and make more money by hand staining all our decks or pergolas than we would if we were spraying everything. And so after going from staining with spraying everything to spraying only fences and hand staining everything, we increased our profits by about 25%.
Nice.
Same amount of work. Didn't increase anything other than we got rid of the expenditures of plastic, stain, paper, tape, all the other things, and just hand stained. If you use Expert Stain and Seal, Wood Defender is also a great product. Ready Seal is also a good product. I'm not saying one is better than the other, although I do believe one is better than the other. But your audience could be Wood Defender guys. They could be Ready Seal guys. What I love about Expert Stain and Seal is it's easy cleanup. Meaning if I did get something on some vinyl siding, we have a 2 gallon pump sprayer that has a little bit of degreaser in it, a little bit of cheap dish soap in it, and water. You spray that on there and you wipe it down and it's clean. No need for paint thinners, no need for solvent cleaners, any of those chemicals. And then the other thing is when you're done using your brush, you take that brush, you just lay it in an empty bucket and the oil comes off of it. It does not stiffen up. It does not need to be washed out every single job. And if you know, you're using the same brush 5, 6, 7 different jobs. And so the expenditure of a brush compared to everything else was minimal. And so that's mainly a big reason why we went from one to another was because of that.
Well, the 25% alone would make it worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's huge. And
yeah. Yeah. So Matt Warner, first time I sat at one of Joe Everest's events, he used to hold a Stain and Seal University in Springfield, Missouri. And I remember sitting there and listening to him. And, you know, he walks in and he does the Ric Flair impersonation. Boo! You know, and I'm like, who the hell is this dude? You know, and then I look, oh, that's Matt from Empire Fence. And he comes down and he's like, how many of you know the value of your time? And I'm sitting there going, value of my time? And, you know. And so he starts talking about value and putting value on your time and all those different things. But I came away from that seminar or that class learning that time is money and your time is worth more than just physical money. You know, you talk, we're both fathers and husbands. Our families want us home. You know, you could go out and make a great living and make life comfortable for them, but eventually what they want is your time, your presence, your involvement in, with them. And so it's nice to save the 25%. It's also nice that you're making an additional 25% and you're still home, you know, at a reasonable hour and having dinner or going on family trips and using that increase or taking that expenditure and refocusing it towards something positive, putting that time, making that time valuable. So that for us was like the biggest thing is like, yeah, we saved 25% overhead, but we could flip that around into investing in our employees and investing in our family time and our family trips and memories and things like that.
I'd say that's probably one of the harder things for me personally is the family time thing, because it's like, there's always something to do. You always got an estimate to send. You always have a customer to call. You always have work. And it's like, I mean, and I'm horrible at it. Sometimes I'm like, I just need to stop for a minute. And I know that I'm behind on these things, but I need to spend time with my family. And yeah, it gets tough, but I did want to ask you too, though. So you get a homeowner, they're a DIYer. Do they have to clean their deck or fence first, or can they just throw up their stain?
So my professional opinion is that I just ran into this problem this week with a young guy here in town who's a window washer and wants to expand, right? Like customer says, hey, you know, you're here washing my windows. Can you stain my deck? And he was staining the underside of the deck, the customer's deck. And I made a comment to him. I'm like, what did you use to clean it? Oh, I never cleaned it. Why didn't you clean it? Well, they didn't want it cleaned. And so we went down the conversation of, it's your name that's going to be associated with this job. Right. And so, we use my, you know, making all things new. So if the customer pays because they're trying to save money, they don't have the money that they need to do it correctly. What I like to do is first explain to them why the cleaning is needed. It's not just another expenditure. So when I sell a deck to, you know, hey Craig, we're gonna wash, we're gonna pre-treat, low pressure wash your deck, put some brightener on it. Once it's dry, we're going to sand where we need to sand, and then we're going to apply Expert Stain and Seal Pecon. And I don't tell you how many coats it's going to take. I don't tell you what it's going to cost to treat it with wood cleaner. I don't tell you what it's going to cost with wood to put the wood brightener on there or how many coats, because if it needs three coats of stain, we're putting three coats of stain on there. Yeah. If it needs one good heavy coat of stain, we're putting one good heavy coat of stain on there. I'm not going to break it into a line item estimate, because you'll have customers, I don't want to pay for the wood cleaner, or I don't want to pay for the neutralizer, the wood brightener. Well, if we clean it with wood cleaner, you're going to need wood brightener. And I'll show them pictures of what happens when that cleaner dries up and the deck starts to dry and how it'll get speckled, because there's still cleaner wanting to activate. Because there's still moisture in there, and it's putting it's pushing talons up from the wood, or it's killing that organic. So I'll explain to them, you know, hey, your price is all inclusive. It's labor, it's materials, it's time, it's everything for me to come in, turn it from what it looks like now to what you want it to look like finished, and everything in between there. If they don't, you know, they want to do it themselves, you know, I usually walk them down to the path of, you can go to realgoodstain.com. You can buy the same materials I would use. They'll ship it right to your door. If there's a shipping fee, they'll break it all down to you. But you need wood cleaner. You need at least 1,800. Use this tip. Don't use that tip. So I'll walk them through the process. And so that when they do stain it, they're going to get at least some good result out of it. Worst case scenario, they'll call you and say, hey, this is more than I really figured it was going to be. I thought this was just going to be, a weekend job. We have a job next week that the guy's been working on this deck for 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Just, damn, it's 99 degrees out. I'm not going to go out there and work on the deck. I'm going to go inside and watch, the Euro Cup, and watch Spain play England or whatever,
Yeah.
I'm just going to call Justin up. He'll come out here. He'll wash it in a couple hours. And then when he comes back out, it'll take a couple hours and it'll be stained and it's done. So if they want to do it themselves, I try to walk them through the right process so that they can be successful, as well as the reasons why those steps are needed. And you'll get folks who are just going to throw stain on uncleaned wood. We see it all the time where house painters will come in, and nothing against house painters. We paint exteriors, where they just don't know, or the price is not high enough that it includes the washing. And so they'll just throw it over a 10-year-old never cleaned deck. And then a year later, the stuff's just coming off like sheets of paper. And so, you don't want to spend the money, but let me at least educate you. And I don't mean like you're stupid, but just inform you. Instead of educate, let me inform you why we go through these processes for the long-term benefits of your work lasting what it should last.
Yeah, because I literally just had a customer the other day ask if we could just throw some stain up, which we don't usually stain after the fence is up.
Mm-hmm.
We pay a painter guy to come and do that. But we do all pre-staining stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they said the same. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure my guy cleans and stuff. I was like, but you definitely want to clean this up because it's not looking good. And he's like, I'm not worried about that. And I'm like, if you're going to pay the money, you probably want to do it the right way.
Yeah. So,
that's why I brought it up, because I was like, I'm pretty sure you should probably clean it. So,
So there, I guess I should take a couple of steps back. So there's that occasion, right, where the homeowner, do-it-yourselfer, they don't want to spend the money to have, they don't want to hire somebody to come and do it. They want to do it themselves. We also get jobs where Empire Fence just built a fence last week. The customer wants it stained. We go out there at a minimum. We use my salesman as one tool that we use for estimating that, for tire kickers especially. Mm-hmm. So we'll send them to my salesman. They'll input all their info, and then we ask for a few photos of here and now pictures. So that way we can kind of gauge what the fence looks like.
Right.
And then my salesman, the cool thing is it gives them a low number and it gives them a high number. And then they can put in their, new light cleaning, full restoration, I think is how we have it worded. And so they can click whatever they think is right. And then if after they get that estimate number and they want an official estimate done, we already know for us that, hey, they're good with $1,750 to $2,800. Mm-hmm. So now we just need to go out there and verify the linear foot, that it is in fact 200 linear feet, not 400. Cause that's something we run into a lot is, I think it's 200 feet. And then you quote them for 200 feet and you get out there and it's like double the size of fence that they told you. And your figure doubles and they're like, what the hell? Well, you said 200, there's 400 feet of fence.
Yeah.
So verifying it. And then if it's a new fence, I'm sure you guys run into this where, your supplier sends you great cedar pickets and it's clean and it looks beautiful and it's ready to be stained. There's, it's clean. It's not resisting water. It's not beating from any mill glaze or any sealer or any chemical that's gotten on there. And so there are fences that are freshly built that we just go right in and we stain it because moisture levels are correct. It's clean. And it doesn't have anything that would not allow the stain to penetrate. But then if we go there, other fences that are new and pressure treated, for an example, a lot of them are green. A lot of them have that green or organic speckling growth grown on it, or mold and mildew already on the pickets. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, we tell the customer, it's like, hey, we could stain it, but it's still not going to keep this from getting worse and showing up through the stain. It's there. And so then we recommend, you know, like I would recommend at least doing auxilic wood brightener will kill a lot of that light growth that's on fences where you don't need to do a full wood cleaning restoration. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, depending on the boards, right? If it has a couple of stamps, we just put auxilic on it and use stronger auxilic and just give it a good auxilic wash. Or we could do pre-carb, you know, the eco cleaner, which is a mild cleaner, same mm-hmm. stuff we use for oxy and laundry and things like that. And that'll kill some of that organic. But yeah, it depends on the quality and cleanness of the board or how old the fence is itself too.
Gotcha. I look like I'm frozen. I think I'm frozen on here. Am I moving on your end?
No.
Yeah. I'm frozen. But
yeah, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, yeah he's talking, but my eyes aren't what they used to be, but there's like no movement happening.
Why are the lips not moving? So yeah, I was gonna say, so there's a lot to staining than what most people that get into staining, they probably think, oh, that's easy. I'll just go up there and throw some on real quick and then be done. And then it makes guys like you like, what are they doing? So I definitely think that people, it's kind of like fencing. Like you should definitely get into and go to your staining universities, do your research on it and stuff. Don't just try to wing it, which we all know those, you know, chucks in the truck that will try to wing it and do those things. But it's like, please don't make it bad. Kind of like at the beginning, you said the guy wanting to charge $1.25, and it's like, man, you're just killing the market. Like, make it better. So,
and there's a way of addressing those things. Like when I looked at work that I did 10 years ago, I'm like, what the heck was I doing? You know, like, man, my lines weren't cut in right. You know, because we brushed everything. We don't tape and paper. Because we've gotten to that point, right? So when I first started off, even when we stopped spraying and we were brushing, we would still throw up with the masker, you know, paper and tape because we didn't want to get stain on people's houses.
Yeah.
But over time now, I mean, you give me a brush and I'll cut in a straight line against, you know, a white hardy board siding and not have any issues. But it's taken time to learn how to do that and not make the mistake. Staining itself it's not rocket science. It's not really that hard to do. It is one of those things that I tell folks who are getting into the business that do not compare yourself to somebody who's been doing it for 10 years. Because before I stained, I was a painter. And that's where I learned to cut in. That's where I learned to mask fast. You know, when I was given a masker, when I first started painting, I was slow. I was, you know, tape, untape, let me try that again. And, you know, horrible. Now I can start, you know, I'll tape a baseboard and I'll run that masker the length of wherever I need it to, without ever stopping, you know, just run it. Kind of like, I guess, like we started off the conversation, we learn by our errors and our trials, and we could either give up, put our hands in the air and say, this is not for me, or we can make the mistakes, learn what we did wrong, fix it, and just keep improving and getting better and better. And staining is the same way. You know, you'll go out and stain a fence and it takes you 8 hours, right? And then you watch Justin, you watch Jamie Hodge. The other day, Jamie Hodge stained a 5,000 square foot shadow box in like hours, right? And you sit there and go, how the heck is that dude staining 5,000 square feet of shadow box in like half a day, like 4 hours, you know? But the dude's been doing it for years and he's honed his trade. He's owned his process. Yeah. He knows what tip to use and what tools to use, you know? So yeah, it's not easy to do, but it's also not difficult to do. And so my greatest advice to somebody who's thinking of doing it is don't compare yourself to the person next door or who's in your market, ask that person for tips and ask them for advice. Hopefully they're not like some of the old timers who like, you're trying to steal my trade. You're trying to steal my knowledge. No, dude, I'm just asking you a question. Like, if you don't want to tell me, I'll YouTube it, right? Because you're going to find it on YouTube or on Facebook or on Google or wherever. But ask people for help, ask people for advice, and then practice. You know, go out, and if it takes you 10 hours to stain a deck, but you're happy with how that deck turned out.
Right.
It took 10 hours. Great. My first deck, I remember first deck I stained was with TWP Cedar Tone. And that thing took me a day and a half to stain. I was using a 2-inch angle brush that I picked up at Sherwin-Williams where I bought the stain. Had no idea about block brushes. Had no idea that, you know, I could even use those. And I was there on my hands and knees, hand staining this deck with a 2.5-inch angled brush. Now, you know, that same deck, man, me and two other guys, that thing's done in an hour, you know. But we've honed our skill. We've honed our process. We've learned to be efficient and to be what we're doing 10 years later.
Which Brad says hello. And then also I did want to say one thing too. You said that you can do a really good cut in right next to some white hardy board. That's impressive after drinking like three of those bangs and then going out there and doing that. And you're like not shaking or anything. You're like, oh man.
So I'll have to find a video. There's a video that I did. So I'm cutting in. So if you can imagine, right? So I've got a Sherwin-Williams pin activated extension pole. Mm-hmm. So I've got that in one hand. I've got my phone in the other hand. And I'm trying to, I'm not a technical guy, right? Like you being able to even host this to me is like light years beyond what I could ever do, right? I'd be talking to you through the phone and that's how we would be doing this. But so I've got my drink in my hand. I've got my phone in front of my drink, right? So I'll pretend my head. So I got my phone. All right. I see the floor. And then I've got the pole with my right hand and I'm trying to do a cut in video, right? Using the pole. And I cut it in, right? You know, but that's where I was at. Like, it's like, okay, this is how we cut in, you know, and then, it's not hard to do once you've done it and you've done it and you've done it. And again, the real nice thing with Expert Stain and Seal is the product itself is very forgiving, right? So you can, you don't want it to sit on that white hardy board. In the video, you don't see the rag that's in my back pocket or in my pocket that's drenched in orange Zept degreaser, Walmart dish soap and water that I have soaked so that when I do get something on there, we just go and wipe it right away. And it's, you know, you couldn't tell that it was on there to start with.
Right.
So there's that also, you know, just knowing, hey, if I do get some, I can pull out my rag real quick, wipe it, and it's good to go.
Yeah, I did notice that because we use Expert Stainless Steel. And I did notice that, like, even when it's on your hands or anything, like, you pretty much go in, get some water, and it comes right off. Like, it's like, man, I thought I was going to be, you know, my hands would be different colors for like 4 days or something. But no, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, cool. So,
So my oldest boy who started working with me this month, he started off with us when we were doing it part time. He was, you know, working his way through high school to buy a car and all that. And so he experienced TWP. He experienced Cabot, Australian Oil, and Sherwin-Williams Super Deck. And we would come home and, we sprayed when we first started. So you'd come home just shiny with, you know, layers of mahogany flame, right?
Yeah.
And you're driving and, you know, we got a white car. and you're like wondering why there's like a red glow inside the cabin, you know, and it's like, well, man, I'm all red. Or you look at, you know, I like to lean my arm either on the middle console rest or on the side of the driver's door, and you're like, whoa, why is that red or brown or whatever? You know, the stuff. It's
stained everywhere.
Yeah. And so when he came back and he started working with me again, and he's like, why does this stuff not stink? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, it doesn't smell like gasoline and paint thinner and all these other chemicals. Oh, yeah, that's right. Like when you were doing this, we never used this product. This is Expert Stain and Seal or Stain and Seal. You can wash it off with, you know, soap and water. And he's like, what? You mean I don't have to scrub with like a steel wool pad to get the layers of stain off? I'm like, no, just take a shower, use whatever body wash that you're going to use, and you'll be good. So that has a lot to do with it also.
Yeah. And that's apparently my camera went out as well. So I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
It just shut off. here you are talking about technology, and it's like, hey, he can do technology, and nope, he can't.
All right, Craig. Stop trying to make me not feel so bad.
Yeah, and for some reason, it's not even letting me do my camera on my computer. Oh, there it goes. Camera on the computer. So,
no, you're back.
Yeah, there I am. Different angle. But so, yeah. But we are at hour and 20, which obviously some of that's the pre-time. But I definitely need to have you back on because there's a ton of other things that I'd love to ask.
Sure.
Then I feel like we can just also have a show of just shooting the crap. Hanging out and stuff. So hopefully you find a way, you make it out to Vegas, come out to the Fence Show. If you end up coming, definitely reach out to me. Love to hang out and stuff, and go check out some things. And then I am going to be teaching a class there, and they gave me a media pass. So I guess I'll be able to set up and like interview people and stuff there too. So
awesome.
Yeah. Love to have you stop by and say some things and stuff too. So
yeah. And if you ever come to the Stain and Seal event, you want to come to our house. Don't let Joe fool you or Dan Blanc or any of those guys. That's not the place to go.
Yeah.
If you want to come to one of the staining events, you got to go stay at the Airbnb where Justin and the guys are. It is steaks. It is hot tubs. It is pool night. The real event happens after the event.
Yeah.
And so.
That's what Dan Wheeler, whenever I was on his, he was like, dude, you have to come to a Stain University. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's, I'm sure just like you were mentioning with the Fence Show, it's, you know, you learn about staining, you learn about marketing, you learn about running the staining business and all those things. But, just the interaction with other folks, that's why I go. I mean, do I know how to stain? Yeah, I know how to stain. You know, I don't really need to go to learn, you know, what tip to use, what tip not to use. I go because I'll see you there. I'll see Dan Wheeler there. I'll see Isaac, who was on here, you know, where I'll see his profile picture and we can message each other. But to actually shake hands and talk and meet and greet.
Yeah, the network.
So much worth going to those things.
Oh yeah, that's why I love going to them too. At first I was big like, nah, I'm not gonna go to any of that stuff. And then I went and I was like, dude, you have to go to these things because you learn so much from just talking to people and like get to know them and stuff. And plus, it's good to meet new people and have friends and be able to text you and be like, hey man, I screwed up on this stain. Like, what do you think? And then obviously you have way more experience than I do. So, and then it's like, boom. And then it's a 40-minute mess for me, and it's like a 3-minute thing for you. And it's like, all right, we should have done that a long time ago. So,
And you learn from each other. You know, Brad was on here earlier. He's been, I'm trying to remember what he calls it, but he's like using an air compressor system to transfer it into like a spray system. And he's been like working little, you know, bugs and niches out of it. And he's gotten to the point now where he sent me a video the other day where he's got this little machine set up. And start with. And I'm like, man, I would have never thought of, you know, throwing an air compressor on this to help, you know, apply cleaner instead of pump cleaner, you know. And so, I mean, even folks who are new, oh, there he is, an air diaphragm. And so, I mean, yeah, you could be, you know, Brad, who's from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken, newer to the stain business, but has a wealth of knowledge in drywalling, painting. I don't know what other, he's a pressure washer, house washing guy. You know, he's like a jack of all trades, but he could create this machine that could benefit everybody in the industry as time goes on.
Yeah, that'd be huge. And then he'd probably love it because everybody's going to want to buy it. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know how much staining you've done. Like it's called something else now. I've got one of the older stain man poles that has the adjustable head on a swivel that you can, you know, as you're spraying, it's about 48 inches long. And then it has an attachment to it that you could push up and down to make the spray head swivel go up, down, you know, 360 degrees, basically. And those poles are like a lifesaver when it comes to your back, you know, because you're not reaching underneath that third rail to get that little bit that you can't see. You just adjust your swivel and you're spraying and moving, you know, and it's tools like that save your back, save time, make you money, and benefit your trade because you're able to do things that, you know, other guys aren't doing, other guys or gals aren't doing because they don't have that tool. So, yeah. And down the road, I'm sure that guy's selling stain man poles as fast as he can build them.
Yeah. Probably true. I bet he is. Yeah. But so, yeah, Justin, appreciate you coming on, man. We don't have like any official, like, thanks, guys. See you later. So,
cheers, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Cheers. Thanks for checking us out. We appreciate you guys. That's what I was going to start doing. I was going to say who's the next guest. Let's see who we got next week. Next week we have, Brian T. Frederickson.
Brian,
you come on.
That's the show to watch.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hop on and talk about the fence show in Vegas and stuff. So
He's like the meme master of the fence industry.
Some of those are freaking hilarious. I'm like, I want to keep saving them because I'm like, I'm going to use these things. So
yeah.
But yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it. And we're definitely going to have you on again and see everybody later. And thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. Appreciate it.